Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Live from Philadelphia is Tetna. Good morning. And welcome to our family, friends, tuning in through Facebook and YouTube Live. We're streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. Amen. Listen, you at home, you're going to have to help us praise. I thank God I made it. I skated all the way in. I skated in. Look, look, and I did not crash and boom. And I'm not talking about driving. I'm talking about walking. I was going to tell a story, but let me stop. So be careful if you have to go out early this morning walking. But I would imagine after service we're going to be all right. Okay? And as a reminder of that, everybody in the sanctuary want to remind us that we're going out of the side door here, not the emergency door when we leave. Okay? Just because of the ice right now, which may still be there. Okay? So just be careful on the way out. And also, our offering baskets are right there on the way. Okay? Now, let us guard ourselves, and get ready. Hallelujah. I want the people at home, because of the ice, snow, and everything else we've been going through that we all have shared, individually, we're still going through. So I want you to help me this morning, and maybe all you can do is raise your hand. Maybe all you can do is say hallelujah, but that's okay. Hallelujah, because God is good. So let's give him a praise first thing in the morning. How about that? Hallelujah. Let's give him a praise first thing in the morning. Hallelujah, for all that he's done, all that he's able to do, and all, listen, sometimes you don't even know what he's done, but you know you're still alive. You're still surviving, right? Hallelujah. 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 God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, you've been with us, and we may not have acknowledged it, but right now we'd like to thank you. Not just for the day, but thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done in us, God. Thank you for what you've done for us in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you this morning, God. Only you could do it. Only you could keep us like you're keeping us, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, walk with us, God. Continue to talk to us, Lord. Hold us in your presence, God, in the name of Jesus, God. For we love you right now, God, for all that you're done through us, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 Now keep a praise in your heart all day long. Look, I don't know about you, but I am off tomorrow. I got a list of things, but I'm off tomorrow. Hallelujah for that. Anyway. Be careful if you go out. We're going to be reading a scripture. And I'm going to be reading in your hearing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. And I am reading the New American Standard Version. Amen? All right. Very familiar. If not, look, you need to put this, because not only is this set an example for love, but understand that God is love. So when you think about God, think about this scripture right here. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Amen. Love bears all, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. Now, we are going to have Todd McCoy, Deacon Todd McCoy, come up with our Black History moment. Amen? All right.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. For today in Black History, we're in Philadelphia. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with the name Richard Allen. Unfortunately, some of you only know the name for the Richard Allen Holmes. But let's learn who Richard Allen was. Amen. Amen. On this day, February 14th, in 1760, Bishop Richard Allen was born in Philadelphia, which means he was born a free man. Amen. Richard Allen was a minister, educator, writer, and one of the most active and influential Black leaders. In 1794, he founded the African Methodist Episcopal Church. The AME churches that you know about, he founded that here in Philadelphia. It was the first independent Black denomination in the United States. He opened his first AME church in 1794 in Philadelphia. Amen. So that let us honor what he started off by saying, thank you for Richard Allen. Amen.
We're going to have a treat. Anyway, First Lady is coming to read the announcements. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to do it later? All right. All right. We'll do that later. What? All right. So now get your sword ready because we're ready for the word as our pastor, Jonathan Ford, comes on. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Good morning and welcome to all of you. Thank you again for joining us. This Valentine's Day Sunday here at the Tabernacle. Thank you to those here in the sanctuary who braved the weather to come out. Greetings to you who are joining us online via YouTube and or Facebook. May the Lord bless and keep you as well. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go right to the Word of God. We're going to look at two passages in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, the 139th Psalm, and also the book of 2 Samuel. So again, two passages from the Old Testament, the 139th Psalm. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 16, and also 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, verses 15 through 23. Before we get started, I do want to thank our marriage ministry, headed by Aaron and Marcy Abrams, for the wonderful marriage ministry event that took place on this past Friday. I think all of the couples who participated via Zoom really had a great time and may have been the best hour of our week with our companion. So again, thank you to the marriage ministry for the great job they did. Also, as a precursor, they already said the First Lady will be up later with the announcements. But on this Friday, while Lee is coming with a family fun night. And so this Friday, we can all get on and get on with our entire families. And so we're looking forward to that. Amen. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And that's all we want to read out of the Psalms. And now we'll go over to 2 Samuel 12, verses 15 through 23. Then Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. And David therefore pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And so the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. And then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. And therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worship. And then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he did eat. And then his servant said to him, what is this that you have done? You have fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food. And he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. So why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me. This morning, I want to address the question, where do babies go when they die? Where do babies go when they die? It is a question that is often pondered in secret. It's not often publicly asked or expressed, but I want to use this opportunity this morning to shed some light on that question from the Bible. For those of you that were in attendance at the homegoing service for Baby Amir on this past Friday, this is the same message that I shared with the audience at Baby Amir's funeral. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of going to the Word of God to find answers for life's most difficult questions. We thank you for the wisdom of God that you said if any man would ask, that you would give liberally. We thank you for the understanding that comes from God. For in your word, you encourage us that in all our getting to get an understanding. And so we come before you this morning, not as people with answers, not as people with solutions, but as people with problems, with hearts that are broken, trying to put some kind of sense to some of life's most difficult situations. And so speak to us today, Holy Spirit, as you have consistently done. And we thank you in advance for what you will do and what you will say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Where do babies go after death? The Bible doesn't explicitly answer that question. However, enough indirect information can be pieced together from Scripture to provide a satisfactory answer. And it relates not only to babies or infants who die, but also to those who suffer from mental handicaps. It is clear from Scripture that an unborn baby is known by the Lord even from the time of conception. According to what we just read in Psalms 139, there the psalmist said, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. For that I will praise you. For that I know and I understand that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are the works of our God." He said, "My frame was not hidden from you." Not my body, my frame, my skeleton. So it wasn't hidden from you. "When I was made in secret and wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." God, way, way, way before our mother and father and our grandmother and our grandfather even got together, God was already working for us. Said, "God, it was your eyes that saw my substance, even when it was yet unformed. And in your book, they have all been written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." So there we have very clear support, biblical support, that God is involved at the earliest possible stages in the development and shaping of human life. The only passage in the Bible where something specific is said about the death of an infant is found in 2 Samuel chapter 12. There we learn of David's affair with Bathsheba and another man's wife. David was informed by the prophet Nathan that the child produced by that union would in fact die. David then began to fast, to pray, asking the Lord to not carry out his judgment. When the baby died, David got up from praying and fasting, refreshed himself, went to church, and then came home to eat. When asked about his behavior, David uttered the words recorded in 2 Samuel 12:23, "Now the baby is dead, so why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me." David's words reflect a clear understanding that the child could not come back to earth. But at the same time, David would be with his child one day in heaven. This statement indicates not only David's assurance of his own future in heaven, but also it speaks to the assurance that his child would share that same future along with him. From this account, we can conclude that infants who die are destined for heaven. The second key to addressing this question is having an understanding of the character and nature of our God. A God of justice must punish sin, for the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin are death. A baby has not had the opportunity to willfully sin. However, every child conceived bears the sin nature inherited from Adam and is therefore subject to God's judgment. However, at the same time, God reveals himself as a God of goodness and great mercy. It could very well be said that God, in his grace, applies the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to the lives of little babies who have died. The Bible does not specifically say whether or not a baby goes to heaven. Without a clear message, we can only speculate. However, we know of God's love. According to 1 John 4:8, it teaches us that God is love. We know of God's goodness. According to Psalms 31:19, it says, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you." We know of God's compassion. According to Lamentations 3:22, which says, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because of his compassions, which fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." We know of David's confidence that he would one day be with his child again in heaven. And we know that Jesus invited children to come to him all throughout the gospel. "Allow children to come unto me and forbid them not." Based on these sureties, I believe it is appropriate to conclude that the souls of children are immediately in the presence of God when their lives are cut short by death. I believe that granting saving grace to babies and young children on the basis of the sufficiency of Christ's atonement is consistent with God's love, his mercy, and his word. Now, that raises another question. And that is, what happens to you and I when we die? Those of us who are of age and understanding and have heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ, we have a choice to make before we die. By faith, we can believe and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and one day join little babies who have died and others who have accepted Christ by faith in heaven. Or we can reject the gospel message and miss out on heaven altogether and spend eternity in hell. Those are our two choices. So what is the gospel message of Jesus Christ? According to John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." According to John 6:40, Jesus Christ said himself, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." And so today I encourage each and every one of you who are listening to this message to make a choice for Jesus. I encourage you to make a choice that will lead to heaven. I encourage you to make a choice that inspires hope. I encourage you to make a choice that will bring happiness and not sadness to your life. This is the word and will of God. Before I close, I would like to share with you a brief story. Years ago, there was a very wealthy man who, with his devoted son, shared a passion for art collecting. Together, they traveled around the world, adding only the finest art treasures to their collection. Priceless works by Picasso and Van Gogh and Monet and many other famous artists adorned the walls of their family estate. The widowed elder man looked on with satisfaction as his only child became an experienced art collector like himself. The son's trained eye and sharp business acumen caused his father to beam with pride as they dealt with art collectors from around the world. As winter approached, war engulfed their nation. The young man left to go serve his country in the military. After a few short weeks, his father received a telegram. His beloved son was missing in action. The art collector anxiously awaited more news, fearing he would never see his son again. And within days, his fears were confirmed. The young man had died while rushing a fellow soldier to a medic. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season, a season that he and his son had so looked forward to, would visit his house never again. On Christmas morning, there was a knock at the door, and it awakened the depressed old man. And as he walked to the door, the masterpieces of art on the walls only reminded him that his son was not coming home. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. He introduced himself to the man by saying, "I was a friend of your son. In fact, I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something I would like to share with you." As the two began to talk, the soldier told of how the man's son had told everyone of his, and not to mention his father's love for fine art. The young man said, "I am an artist too, and I want to give you this." And as the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of his son. And though the world would never consider it a work of art, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man thanked the soldier, promising to hang the picture over the fireplace. A few hours later, after the soldier had departed, the old man set about his task. True to his word, the painting went well above the fireplace, pushing aside thousands of dollars of price of other paintings. And then the man sat in his chair, spent Christmas gazing at the gift he had been given. During the days and weeks that followed, the man realized that even though his son was no longer with him, the boy's life would live on because of those he had touched. He would soon learn that his son had rescued dozens of wounded soldiers before a bullet stilled his caring heart. As the stories of his son's gallantry continued to reach him, fatherly pride and satisfaction began to ease the grief he was experiencing. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession, far eclipsing any interest in the pieces for which museums around the world had clamored. He told his neighbors it was the greatest gift he had ever received. That following spring, the old man became ill and thereafter passed away. The art world sat in anticipation, unmindful of the story of the man's only son, but in his honor, those paintings would be sold at an upcoming art auction. According to the will of the old man, all of the artworks would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he had received his greatest gift. The day soon arrived and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled this day. Greatness would be achieved. As many claims, I have now assembled the greatest art collection. The auction began with a painting that was not on any registered list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room fell silent. The auctioneer said, "Who will open the bidding with $100? Minutes passed by, but no one spoke up. From the back of the room came, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's forget it and get on to the good stuff for which we all have traveled here." More voices echoed in agreement. "No, we have to sell this one first," replied the auctioneer. "Now, who will take the son?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke up. "Will you take $10 for the painting? That's all I have, but I knew the boy and I would like to have his picture." "I have $10. Will anyone go higher?" The auctioneer, after more silence fell, he said, "Going once, going twice, gone." And the gavel fell and cheers filled the room. And someone shouted, "Now we can get on with it and bid on these wonderful art treasures that are here." The auctioneer looked at the audience. To their amazement, he announced that the auction was now over. Stunned, disbelief fell over and quieted the entire room. Someone spoke up and asked, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. What about all these priceless paintings? There are millions of dollars worth of art here, and we've came to buy them. I demand that you explain what's going on here." And the auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all." Yeah, there it is. There it is. That's it right there. That story puts things in perspective for all of us. Just as those art collectors discovered on Christmas Day, the message is still the same this day. The love of a father whose greatest joy came from his only begotten son, who went away and gave his life rescuing others. And because of that father's love, whoever takes the son gets it all. May the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.
Thank you for that word. Wow. Man. All right. We are going to go right in. You know what? Before we do announcements, if that word touched you, which, unless you slept through it, I don't know how it did. And if you just take the story at the end, you got the big picture. And so, if you would like to know this Christ that Pastor was talking about, you can receive him today. So look, I want you, if it's in your heart, and I'm not going to delay anymore, just repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. You heard him say what the law said. The wages of sin is death. And that's death to your spirit. You gotta understand that. However, I'm trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that his shed blood, death, and resurrection provide me forgiveness. And if you said those words, trust in Jesus as your personal Savior, say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me for my sins today." Amen. Amen. Now, if you accepted that call of salvation today, please visit our website. The website is teletabernacle.com. And go into our Contact Us page and check in. Check the box that says, I'm interested in becoming a Christian. And on top of that, know that you are saved. You received the word of God. You received the call from God. You spoke it out. You are saved. So check in, leave your contact information, or you can call, and I'll leave this. If you have a prayer request, visit the website or this. Call 215-748. That's 748-4578. Leave a brief message in your prayer request to let us know. And let us know even on that, that I received God. I received salvation. Just let us know. We would, especially the pastor, we would rejoice in that information. Okay? Okay. And now we're going to move on to the we're going to do offering, right? Okay, we'll let her go. So we're going to do, say it again. Okay, good. All right. So without further ado, I'll let her come up. Amen, Jemay, First Lady, Anna.
Amen. Am I on? How about now? Am I? Excellent. Good morning. Good morning. All right. We're going to move on to announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you can continue to join us in worship from your home, from the comfort of your home. In response to the City of Philadelphia's most recent restrictions on religious services, we are limited to only 10 people in the sanctuary and 12 people in our third floor overflow area. When you decide to join us in person for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving your home and remember to bring your mask. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has had a positive testing of COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Additionally, the church van service is suspended until further notice. Please keep this in mind so you can plan your transportation accordingly. Okay, moving on to our February announcements, which can also be found on our website at www.taylortabernacle.com. There will be no prayer and Bible study for the month of February. Additionally, on February 17, which is Ash Wednesday, there will be no service. Friday, February 19th, Wiley Ministry will host Family Game Night at 7:30 p.m. via Zoom. Psalms 133:1. States, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, which is what we'll be doing. For further details, please reach out to Deaconess Kamila Lyons, Deaconess Helena Weich, or Sister Cassandra McCoy. On February 26th, Singles Ministry will host a Zoom event at 7 p.m., please reach out to Sister Shanita Scott with questions. This event is for all unmarried adults, which include those who have never been married, widows, widowers, divorcees. On February 28th, the Sunday of Hope special service, Taylor Tabernacle and the Delta Eta chapter of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated will team up to support St. Jude Children's Hospital. Pastor Ford is asking everyone for a $20 sacrificial offering for this worthy event and worthy cause, specifically St. Jude Hospital. Again, that's February 28th, our special Sunday of Hope, benefiting St. Jude Children's Hospital. We thank you again for your support. If you have a prayer request, please visit our website. As Minister Lyons indicated before, you can place a prayer request directly through our website. Again, the www.taylortabernacle.com. Go to the prayer request page, or again, as he stated, you can just call 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so we can respond. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page, or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you can remain informed and up to date on all of our upcoming gatherings and all of our events. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address, your new contact information, so we can add you to the list so you can stay updated and informed. And I believe that those are the end of our announcements. Did you also say I'm doing offering? Okay. Amen. With that, we're going to, am I doing offering? Are you doing, okay. Just, excuse me. So we're going to move directly into offering. So good morning once again. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. You can give in one of three ways, which include text, online giving, or through our website. You can also give through our typical U.S. postal mail. Let's see. To give by text message, which I personally find to be the easiest, you can text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. That's 73256. You will then receive immediately a link with instructions on how to continue with the giving. To give through our website, please go to TAYLORTABERNACLE.com/giving. And again, follow the directions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. For those gathered in the sanctuary with us today, you will find two offering baskets next to our side ram door, one for your tithes and offering and one for our pastor, preacher of the morning. Please place your sealed envelopes in those baskets as you exit the sanctuary this morning. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. And I'm just realizing that I've mixed the order of the announcements and the offering, so I've beg your forgiveness. But without further ado, I am going to ask the pastor to come up and provide us with our benediction.
Well, everyone, thank you once again for joining us for worship. Thank you again, Taylor Nation, for joining us online. Let me say before we close, one, personally, I want to thank everyone who remembered my birthday. Thank you for the text messages, the calls, the emails. Thank you for the gifts, the deliveries, all of it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I want to say thank you to all of you, and I really appreciate your kindness towards me. Secondly, I just want to remind fellas, it is Valentine's Day, So let's get out here and brave this ice if you haven't already done so. Let's do what we got to do to show our love and our appreciation for our wives. Amen. And valor doesn't always have to be between, you know, husband, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, that type of thing. You can show your love for your parents, for your sons, your daughters, friends, all that type of stuff. So what a great day to share the love of God amongst one another. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have had to gather around your word as your beloved children. Cause your word to settle deep into our heart and cause it to give us hope and confidence in the plan and wisdom of God. We thank you that you've got all things in your hand and under control. So we thank you and we bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Taylor.